BYUSN ESPN's Pete Thamel reporting this morning that BYU football will name Bear Bachmeyer as their starting quarterback. We react to the news. Plus, we look back on the history of every true freshman quarterback to start at BYU and discuss what are fair expectations for Bear this season.
Bear witness, Spence. TNT Big 12 play-by-play and voice of the LA Rams, J.B. Long, will join the show to discuss the biggest storylines in the league heading into the season, and our boy Puka Nacua. And we'll continue our position previews with cornerbacks Evan Johnson and Trey Alexander.
Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. Happy Tuesday, August 19th. I am Spencer Linton, alongside a man who appreciates a good hole-in-one on the golf course, Jerem Jordan.
One day, probably not. You've come pretty close a couple times.
Two inches and four inches.
Yeah.
Couple of eagles from 100 yards plus, but never a hole-in-one.
Yeah. Jared McGregor, a.k.a. J-Mac, on the men's basketball team. He got an ace yesterday at Hobble Creek, which is the closest course to me, so I like it. It's beautiful. We've all played here locally. Congratulations to J-Mac, who made it from distance. Oh, J-Mac, man, from three. We're used to J-Mac from deep. He did it again.
Hole number six, 175 yards with the 8-iron. Well done, J-Mac.
To your point, we're
used to him being very effective shooting long-range basketball.
I'm not shocked by that because we've seen him come in and chuck it. Let's go.
Well done, J-Mac.
It's awesome.
Yes, he adds to his own legend, Jerem.
Yes, he does.
On that note, rise and shout. Much to discuss. It's time for What's Trending.
I say go with Bear. That's what I say.
Just start the young guy and let him build for the future?
Yes.
Bear has been really a step ahead of everybody, even though he's still learning this offense new as a true freshman. Bear gives him so much more upside as a player. They could easily be 6-0 heading into that game against Utah.
Bearing the burden of being the starting quarterback for BYU football. This is a bit of not exactly surprising breaking news this morning. ESPN's Pete Thamel again reporting that Bear Bachmeyer will be named the starting quarterback for BYU.
Missed the haircut. I'll be honest.
You missed the long hair?
Yeah.
Okay. Because it is short now.
Mm-hmm. And Elder Bachmeyer.
Yes. Short-haired Bear Bachmeyer will be the first true freshman to start an opener in BYU football history. That in and of itself is quite the statement. What's your reaction to this expected bit of news, Jerem?
Yeah, July 30th, I came on the show after the first media availability, and I said, wow, he's got a better chance than I thought to win this job. And I hoped and thought that, hey, the guys that have played college football games and started and been in this system, they have an advantage in many ways. But here comes Bear Bachmeyer, and he wins this job because he's a great decision maker. Several players and coaches talk about how smart he is. Obviously, he goes to Stanford in spring, out of high school, he enrolls early. He transfers after that, and he comes to BYU, and he wins this job. This is Jake Retzloff's job if he stays here, obviously, as a senior. But it opens up to a three-man race, and a true freshman came in and won it. That is significant. It tells you a lot about Bear and who he is as a person, as a quarterback, and what he can do. And now we embrace for the first time a true freshman starter in BYU history. Of course, we'll have media availability today. BYU, if they want, they can say, yeah, it's official. That report is true. We expect that to happen, frankly. But how about that? All the Bear puns begin. And Bear and Tiger here at BYU, you know, game two is Stanford. We assume Bear will be the game two starter too against the team that he was just with in the spring. This is significant. He becomes the seventh true freshman to start a game when he starts against Portland State, but he's the first to do it in game one. The 6'2", 225-pound, number 47, because he played middle linebacker and running back until about ninth grade, will be the starting quarterback reportedly at BYU. I've been in on this early. I thought that he had a good chance. So, like you said, not shocking at all. But it is wild that a true freshman could come in and beat out two dudes that had a combined 12 starts in college already and were in this system. So that says a lot about Bear.
Words that coaches around Bear Bachmeyer here at BYU have used to explain who he is and describe him: brilliant, poised, a phrase, ready for the moment. Also, physical. Number 47 wants you to know that he is a physical football player. What do you think is going to be the story that every broadcaster talks about for
trained
the BYU
with John
quarterback
Beck.
Situation. Okay, because it's not drove to California.
All three trained with John Beck.
Yes, Bear has worked with
John Beck. It's 47.
For the record. It has to be the number, right?
And his name's Bear. And his brother's name's Tiger, and he has another name, Cougar.
His
literally.
Brother, Hank, started at Boise State.
What happened to Hank's name? Why is it Hank? Why isn't he having a cool,
yes,
like, leopard?
Prepare yourself for Eagle. All those stories. The name, the number 47, yeah. That will be the new starting quarterback story for BYU that every broadcaster presents at the beginning of every game.
Yeah.
But good for him, I say. I mean, if you can come in and you are good enough to beat out a couple of guys who have been in the room and with Aaron Roderick for a year or longer, and you've had how much time? Maybe 4 months?
A couple months, yep.
Credit to him,
yep,
for doing that, because not only is he beating out the guys who have been in the room longer, he's younger than him. He is a true freshman starting quarterback worthy of making history, according to Aaron Roderick and Festi Sitake at BYU. So let's not forget that he earned this thing. This is, if all planes are equal, you typically default to, okay, the younger player. But I am told it wasn't that he's on a level playing field with these guys.
He beat him
out. He was better. Yes. So it's, yes, not even that. It's not like, well, if they're all equal or pretty close.
They're never,
no,
going to be equal, though.
No.
They're never going to be equal.
I was told he clearly was better and above, and there is separation, no equal, and he's just younger. He earned this spot.
It got whittled down to two, and then Bear was basically given, like last week, it felt like, okay, we're going to give you most of the reps. You show us you're the guy. And then he confirmed that. And so they practiced yesterday. They walk into today, the final practice of training camp. They take tomorrow off, which is normal. Wednesday's for them. Thursday, they get after it with Portland State, who plays a week zero game, which is amazing for BYU. They can a little extra prep. They can watch Portland State, Tarleton State.
Tarleton State.
Stanford playing Hawaii. That's nice to watch Stanford, too, get a little extra film. That's great. Week zero game's not that advantageous for most. It is for BYU. So congrats to Bear. That's pretty cool. And excited to watch him. Now, a couple things people have asked. Not a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, so no two-year mission sitting there potentially. So he could be here the next couple years. Everything is game-to-game, week-to-week, year-to-year. We'll see. But you like the idea of Bear. Should he play well and be the guy for a couple years, Spence?
At least.
There's a certain five-star that people are excited about that could be the guy after that. There's Enoch Watson coming off a mission in October. Emerson Guileman has been pretty good in camp to the point where he's actually, to me, the third string. Maybe competing with McKay for second right now. And he's done a nice job. He's going to go on a mission. When he comes back, he's in the pipeline. So you feel like right now, you sit back and look at the BYU quarterback situation the next couple years, and you go, we are in it. We have young, good talent that can run, that can throw, that several of which are nationally renowned with Bear and the guy I mentioned. So pretty exciting what's happening with the quarterback position at BYU. With that said, I want to reiterate that McKay Hillstead needs to be ready because it's hard to get through a whole season healthy. We hope Bear does, just like Jake Retzlaff does. It doesn't mean – this isn't a day where McKay should be like, I lost and I feel – be ready, dog. Be ready.
One play away.
We don't want that. But also, Bear's young and there will be learning moments. And who knows? We've walked into a couple situations where – there was a certain starting quarterback at the beginning of the year, and all of a sudden, that true freshman was thrown in later. In this case, Bear is thrown in now. McKay's got to be ready and part of this, too.
In the last 15 years of BYU football, I think it's three quarterbacks, three times the starter has gone from game one to the completion of the season without having to sit out at least one game.
Jake last year, Taysom 2013.
Zach Wilson
Zach
in 2020.
2020. And 20 was unique.
2021... I can't remember. No, Jaren Hall did not. Did he start every game in 20? No, he didn't start the bowl game against UAB.
Yeah, I missed the bowl game.
In Shreveport.
And let's be honest, a lot of people missed the bowl game.
Indeed. Indeed, they did. The point is, it's a small fraction of the time that,
yes,
that the starting quarterback in game one goes the entirety of the season. We
yes.
hope for that. But
absolutely.
McKay is a very worthy backup quarterback and has shown to his credit as well that he's the guy that should be and deserves to be number two in this race.
He's got some experience. He's ready to go. You know, he lost the race, but it's they're together in this. Hey, let's win some ball games, whatever that looks like.
Our question of the day, not surprisingly, what is your reaction to Pete Thamel's report that BYU is naming Bear Bachmeier the starting quarterback. At Weirdly Nice YFan on X answers, in all caps, Barry Awesome.
Nice.
Can't wait to see number 47 as our QB.
It's fun if you're Berkeley Alfrey. People are going to go, oh, dude, that's Bear. No, that's Berkeley Alfrey. He's a linebacker.
Yes.
They're 247s, which is awesome.
At BYU Ballyho on X says, the only acceptable reaction, go Cougars!
Yeah, this is the rallying point today. I think people can officially sort of turn the page and get excited for Portland State because this was the storyline of fall camp is. Who's that quarterback going to be? And reportedly, it's Bear Bachmeyer, which is exciting. I didn't think in 2021 when Hank came in here, and BYU is ranked 10th and BYU lost to Boise State, that we would have any connection to the Bachmeyers. But now it feels like Hank's part of this somehow, even though we beat Brigham.
Yes.
But now it's Bear. Now it's Bear's time. Tiger's here. It's awesome. Can't wait for this new era of Cougar quarterbacked BYU.
Once upon a time, I did an ode to Bachmeyer that now takes on a whole new meaning.
Yes, it does. Would you bring it back, dude?
A whole new meaning.
Let's bring it back, bro.
Weigh in on X, Facebook, and Instagram to join the conversation. What's your reaction to the report from Pete Thamel that Bear Bachmeyer is the starting QB for BYU?
Okay, let's take a look at the seven true freshmen. True, not Richard. True freshmen who have started games for BYU. There are seven in all. I said seven. He becomes the eighth, actually.
Okay.
Drew Miller in 97. John Beck finds this guy. 2003. Jake Heaps, 2010. Taysom Hill, 2012. Tanner Mangum, not to be confused with Tyler Magnum, in 2015. Joe Critchlow, don't forget him, 2017. And Zacharias Wilson in 2018. You see some of the numbers, what they did, the records, the yards, the touchdown, the interception. With these numbers in mind, what are fair expectations for Bear Bachmeyer as BYU's starting quarterback?
This is tough because Bear is going to face the most difficult schedule of any of the now seven true freshmen starting quarterbacks.
So you're saying it's harder than Joe Critchlow's UMass in 2017?
And UNLV situation.
Yeah.
And what, Hawaii? No. I can't
remember. Yeah, Hawaii, yeah, to end 2017.
Did he start the Hawaii game?
I think so.
Okay.
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's tough because you're now talking about a Power Four schedule. I know that he has
10 P4s,
three non-conference games that are not world beaters.
Right,
but still,
but 10 P4
opponents. Who has the closest record to that, or at least closest challenge to that?
Tanner Mangum's 2015, I would
probably
argue.
Because he played UCLA and Michigan,
Boise State. Yep.
He didn't start against Nebraska. Okay, so these are starts.
Definitely finished it.
Did we mention Missouri later that season? Utah and the Las Vegas Bowl. Like Tanner's probably the closest to that.
That was a tougher independent schedule.
But he was 0-4 in starts against Power Four competition. Okay, the games that Tanner won were all against, I believe, Group of Six teams. That says something, right?
And at the time, the Pac-12 existed. It still does exist, but in
so
a different form.
So was P5 at the time, but you get my point.
Yeah, like Taysom's 2-0, it's Hawaii and Utah State. It's not the same as Stanford, Colorado, West Virginia, Arizona, and so on and so forth.
Zach Wilson's starts in the back half of his 2018 season.
It was a little easier. He didn't start against Wisconsin.
No, there was a loss against Northern Illinois.
He didn't start against UCLA.
A loss against...
It was an early home loss there for Tanner.
Obviously loss against Utah, but he showed flashes of brilliance in that game.
Right. This is the toughest, to your point, schedule that any true freshman will encounter in BYU.
So
I would argue most of the quarterbacks in BYU history straight up, Spence. The last two seasons, I mean, we've entered this new era of, hey, this is Power Four football. This is different.
What are fair expectations? Tanner Mangum was a freshman All-American. But again, not the schedule that Bear is going to face. He had 23 touchdowns, 10 picks, and threw for over 3,000 yards.
I thought that was really good. I thought Tanner Mangum's true freshman year was the best that anyone's done.
The offense was set up under Robert and I and his quarterback's coach, Jason Beck, to cater to Tanner's skill set, quick reads, not a lot of deciphering at the line. It was just a high-tempo offense. A
lot of talent around him. Does that sound familiar?
So we see 8-4 record. We've been saying... with Bear, because we anticipated Bear would be the guy, 8-4. So my expectations are there now, I guess, officially, if this report from Thamel holds true, which
what
we
what do we say, reportedly officially?
Yeah.
And then we wait for officially later.
But 8-4, I don't expect Bear to throw for over 3,000 yards.
I don't either.
I don't think BYU is going to rely on his arm that much. I think he's going to run certainly more than Tanner Mangum did.
But will he run more than Jake Retzlaff? Do we expect 500 rushing yards from Bear Bockmeyer?
I'd probably take all 12 games. Yeah, I'd probably take the under there too because he's got a lot of weapons around him.
Yeah. Give me the over on that one, actually.
You can take over 500 rushing yards. Yep. Hey, if that's the case,
if you're wearing 47, you got to run for over 500.
How much of the load is L.J. Martin and Sione Moa and Jovessa Damuni and Enoch Nawahine taking off of Bear's legs?
Now, if you tell me that L.J. runs for 1,200, I'll say
under.
No, that's 350.
Because even Brandon Doman ran for under 500 yards in 2001.
Well, they were scoring too quick. they were putting up 47 points.
Okay.
And Luke's going for 8 yards a carry. Get that guy the ball.
I don't think Steve Young ever eclipsed 500 yards either.
Reno Mahe, not to be confused with Junior Mahe. He was finding him at Doug Jolly. He had lots of weapons too on that team.
So not over 3,000 yards passing. You think maybe a hair over 500 yards rushing. But
I'm more about like efficiency.
Taking care of the ball.
I don't care about the total number per se. Like, give me 62% plus completion percentage.
Yeah.
Give me 8 yards per attempt. Give me efficiency. Give me success rates.
What's a good touchdown to interception ratio?
I would love 2-1 with the true fish.
Okay, 2-1.
Yeah.
Tanner Mangum was 23 touchdowns, 10 picks. Zach Wilson in his 7 starts in 2018, 12 touchdowns, 3 picks. That's pretty good.
12 touchdowns and 7 starts. It's not a monster number total.
Weren't relying on him heavily to score a bunch of touchdowns with his throwing, but...
I
anticipate the BYU probably won't do that either with Bear Bockmeyer.
The biggest number, I think, that Aaron Roderick and we should look at is interceptions. Can he keep that to a single-digit number? Can he take care of the football? Can he not fumble it a ton? I'm hoping that he's kind of a 14 giveaways or less kind of thing. Last year, BYU gave it away 21 times.
Jake Retzlaff had 12 interceptions, right?
He had 12, yep. There were a couple other picks thrown. There was a Gary Bohannon. There was a Hinkley Ropati pick. Take care of the football. Find your playmakers. Make simple, good decisions. Run when it's open. And I think BYU wins 8-plus games.
The formula seems simple enough. And Aaron Roderick has pounded that into the minds of the media, again, through camp. Like, the guy who takes care of the ball and can help us score in the red zone and be efficient will be the starting quarterback.
Yet, explosive plays are a massive piece of BYU's offense. I would say it's part of its core, right?
And Bear had more of those in camp, and it wasn't close, than the other two quarterbacks.
Explosive plays,
and his touchdown to interception ratio was markedly better than the other two as well.
Well, then it's super obvious.
There you have your clear starter.
Oh, who is it? It's that guy, clearly. Come on. Let's go.
I'm just glad we only have how many days to wait until we get to watch BYU play?
Hit it!
Countdown to the Vikings.
11 days. We've been doing this too long. We didn't even have to talk about it. What are we doing there? Oh, my gosh. I was like,
well, we know.
It'll be fine.
No, none of this. 11 days.
11 days away.
We know.
We used to do all this weird syncopation, you know.
11 days away.
No. A little too.
11 days.
A little too jazzy, you know. At Further Review is back tonight. Dave McCann, Blaine Fowler, David Nixon break down player profiles of some of the top players on BYU's roster, including Jack Kelly, Keanu Tanuvasa, and more. 7 Eastern on the BYU TV.
After the break, TNT is in on Big 12 football, and their play-by-play expert, J.B. Long, will join the show to preview that relationship and the Big 12 season. Where does this BYU stacking up? This is BYUSN.
BYU to compete for the conference championship game again. You know, Andrew Gentry, Justin Kirkland, and Keanu Tanuvasa, Carson Ryan. These are critical transfers. But at the same time, I expect BYU to be better this year than they were last year overall.
High praise from Trevor Maddich yesterday on Maddich Monday.
I know.
Better than last year.
Aggressive take.
We are live in Studio B with your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. I am Spencer Linton. He is Jerem Jordan. And as promised, joining us now as a new member of Big 12 Football Broadcasting with TNT, he is J.B. Long, also has been with the L.A. Rams doing radio broadcasts for the last decade. J.B., welcome to BYU Sports Nation. How are you?
Spencer, Jerem, it's good to be with you. And I hope we do get to some BYU Big 12 stuff. I'm sure the first thing on your mind is how many fantasy points is Puka going to rack up for your team?
Let's just go ahead and start there.
Let's just get there. Yeah, exactly.
I don't even want to put you in a spot where you have to ask. I know you want to talk Puka. I'm glad to. He's the best.
Okay, yeah, let's do it. Since he's on top of mind, he's got his little brother Tay with the current version of BYU football. But what has your experience been like with Puka Nacua as a Rams broadcaster and what he has brought to the franchise, both on the field and certainly that big personality off the field?
He's just the best, and I'm looking forward to going out and seeing him on the practice field as soon as we're done here. His rookie season, as you know, was dynamic. It was record-setting. Not only did he win a bunch of fantasy football championships, but he won the Rams a bunch of games from the bottom of the fifth round. And what I love about the way that he and the Rams handled all that is, did anyone expect him to do those types of things? No, otherwise he wouldn't have been the 20th receiver taken in that draft. And I think he was the Rams' third pick of their fifth round, right? So they're very humble about the fact that, yes, they did like Puka, they did take a chance on him, but did they see him becoming an all-pro receiver and I think truly one of the top five elite receivers in the game right now? No, he's overachieved in a very enjoyable way. As you guys know, he's never had a bad day. He's just such a pleasure to be around. And I would say most recently traveling to Maui with him during training camp was a real pleasure, because his bond with that Polynesian community, the way that he was a brand and football and youth ambassador throughout our week there, was just another feather in his cap. I can't wait to see what he does in year three. I mean, his rookie year got all the accolades. He was better as a sophomore. I mean, because he missed some time due to injury, he didn't get the accolades, but he really took it to the next tier last year.
It was fun to watch, and we're excited to see what he does with Devontae Adams. I'm a Seahawks fan, so I'm excited about Cooper Kupp personally. But it's fun to watch Puka and everything. What's your favorite thing about him? Because he's got this fun name. It means chubby in Samoan. He's anything but. He's always got a smile on his face. Got a great family that we've gotten to know over the years. What do you enjoy the most about Puka Nacua as a person?
I think his youthful exuberance and joy. The demands on his time probably aren't understood. He has become the face of this franchise, especially in the post Cooper Kupp universe. I know Matthew Stafford is still QB1. He's still the big man on campus, but this is very much Puka's team in terms of the young fan base and who they flock to and who they wait for after training camp practices to get autographs. That's a burden. It's a privilege. And Puka will say as much, but it's a drain on your time and bandwidth and resources. And his shoulders and his head are held high. It's never bogged him down. And he still has this exuberance to run over to the stands after practice and to spend the extra minutes engaging in the next generation of Rams fans. And as you guys may or may not be aware, that's critically important to who we are as an organization after being away from the Southland for a generation, for two decades. I have two young boys, and the Rams as an organization are growing that next generation of season ticket members and all those sorts of things. And Puka has just been instrumental in all that, apart from being a fantastic football player.
Whose house? Rams house. J.B. Long is with us on BYU
Sports
Station.
Did this turn us into an NFC West show? What just happened?
Okay.
Seahawks are going to be good this year, though. They're going to be a tough out.
It should be fun. Yeah, and let's both hope the Niners just stink again.
I don't think Fred Warner's going to have that. But hey, whatever.
Love Fred, but not the Niners.
Obviously, Puka is very dialed into BYU because, as I mentioned, his younger brother, Tay, is in that receiving core, and saw their other brother, Samson, around camp the other day. The Nacuas are very much tied to BYU, so if you need some insider's edge, you can go there. You can certainly spend some time with us. But right now, as you prepare to broadcast Big 12 football for TNT, and BYU obviously is in that conference, what's your perception of the Cougars and the conference overall?
Yeah, I'd say right solidly in that middle tier of contenders. There seems to be a perceived upper crust, I think, in terms of the favorites, even for a league that decided not to do a preseason poll this year. And I think that was sound judgment. You can take your pick between ASU, Kansas State, Texas Tech, with what they've done to assemble a championship caliber roster through the transfer portal. And then I probably have BYU in that next group, a group that I think includes Iowa State, a team we'll see kick it off in week zero this week, Baylor, Kansas, cover your ears, but probably Utah, I think, poised for a nice bounce back here in 2025. So that's probably the middle group that comes to mind most readily. And obviously the quarterback news that you guys have been discussing is front and center in terms of how high is the ceiling for Satake and BYU this year.
What's the hope in terms of, you know, TNT jumping into this in terms of, hey, Big 12 and college football, obviously, they've been doing some college football, the subleases and whatnot, but this will be a fun, different flavor for the league. What do you anticipate?
Yeah, Spencer and Jeremy, I think as much as anything, what I would want to convey to your audience is just this hope and this optimism that you're going to love what TNT brings to your team and your conference in week-to-week coverage. I had the privilege of teaming with Mike Golic and several others last year in the Mountain West. And I think our experience going to places like Fresno and like New Mexico was just their overwhelming amazement with what the full force of, say, inside the NBA thrust upon college football can look like and feel like. And I'm really privileged and really excited to bring that to the Big 12, but I think the perfect time because they did some great things last year with Arizona State leading the way into the college football playoff. But I think they're poised for even more this year, whether it's having the best quarterbacks and the deepest quarterback roster in all of college football, whether it's some of the coaching storylines that I think are really rich and abundant. And I think as we enter this new era, carving out who deserves what, the Big 12 has said that we're going to earn every step of it. And I think they've got the types of coaches, quarterbacks, and teams that are poised to do really well in that type of environment. And then we as a network and as a broadcast team, all we're going to do is 13 Big 12 football games this year. So you're going to sense from us, I think, the care factor, the investment, the resources, the preparation, and then just the unbridled enthusiasm that comes with College Football Saturdays that I know you and your community love as much as anything else.
JB Long, TNT Big 12 football play-by-play broadcaster and voice of the LA Rams, is with us on BYU Sports Nation. You mentioned the quarterback play in this conference. BYU fans clearly focused on their true freshman, Bear Bachmeier, but when you look at just the expected quarterback play for so many of these Big 12 teams this season, what do you feel like makes that a unique and exciting setup going into the 2025 season?
Yeah, I can't wait to talk Bear with you guys, and I was privileged to hear your first segment before I joined you because I know it's fresh and it's current and it's a lot to dig into. And so I'm here to learn from you guys as much about Bear as anything, including whether he's going to really rock that 47 all season long.
Exactly.
But you look at a matchup like this week in Ireland, even, right, to have Avery Johnson and Rocco Beck leading the way. What an awesome Big 12 quarterback showcase between the juniors. I'll be shocked if there's not at least one, hopefully multiple Heisman contenders out of these quarterback ranks. I think it's the continuity. I think it's the coaching. I think it's the resources around them in terms of their offensive line, their skill groups. You won't find a better quarterback conference. It reminds me of the Pac-12 a couple of years ago in the final iteration of that league as we knew it when they really overachieved with Penix and Washington leading the way. You can measure it in terms of returning experience. You can measure it in terms of passing yards on their resumes, preseason accolades, you name it. You'd be hard-pressed to find both the elite quarterback play with NFL scouts interested in their future prospects, but also just the depth and the talent to lead their teams to bowls. I think that's probably the easiest thing to grab onto this time of year as you anticipate a new season of Big 12 football.
As a college football fan, and obviously play-by-play in the game, there was a Big Ten, you know, report. Hey, they started talking about a 24 or 28 team playoff. Do you have a certain number of teams that you think is the sweet spot? Because we're at 12. By December 1st, they have to decide if they will expand to 26. What's the number you like?
Yeah, I feel good about 12. I'm glad that it has been expanded. I'm always a little bit cautious, as I think many of us are, about diluting it much further because living as I do in both Saturdays and Sundays, college and NFL, there's a lot of things that I like and admire about each of their formats. But the sensation of scarcity is what I think has always driven the popularity of football for me. In the NFL, it's a scarcity of resources, draft picks, salary cap, games, right? Playoff spots. And I think that element has always been true for me of college football, not to be cliche and to say that every regular season game matters. We would like to believe that, but in the current scheduling format and the expanded playoff, there is now a little bit of a margin for error. And I think that's appropriate because of all that the coaches have to do to assemble these rosters year over year to get continuity and buy-in with basically one off season to recreate and reinvent yourself as a team year over year. I want that margin to grow from September to October to November. I've always really enjoyed the conference championship games. And I think the conference championship, be it in the regular season format or the one game championship game should provide access to the playoff. And so I want to preserve that. And I think much more than 12, and you get into some territory where maybe that's been de-emphasized to a point where we might not enjoy living and dying every single Saturday as we always have.
JB Long is on BYU Sports Nation. If you had to pick one word or phrase to explain the identity of Big 12 football, what would you zero in on, JB?
How about motivated? Because I think this conference feels like they deserve a larger share of the spotlight. I think their results on the field provide credence to that. And so I feel like this year, especially in 2025, building off the backs of what some really good teams, including BYU, did last year, is can they show that what Kenny Dillingham and company did was not just a fluke, was not just a flash in the pan, but that it can be a real characteristic of a league that can have a team go worst to first, or that can have a team go challenge a powerhouse like Texas year after year, and develop a reputation that I think, regardless of the playoff format or automatic bids or access, the Big 12 is always going to be one of the leading players in. And I think that personality, you guys tell me, probably applies to BYU as well, with being, what, one or two plays away from having an undefeated championship season last year. Did they really get the national credit and recognition and access that they deserved? I'll leave that to your expert minds to discuss, but I feel like that's maybe in a microcosm applicable to the league at large this year as well.
JB Long on BYU Sports Nation, great to talk with you, man. And we should remind everybody, your first game on a Big 12 call, featuring a Big 12 team anyway, is Arizona and Hawaii in week one. That's August 30th, 10:30 Eastern on TNT. Just caffeinate early in the day. We'll be ready to go late into the night.
Enjoy Noah Fifita's 10-yard backup in the pocket. It is fun to watch.
I love Noah. My wife is a double U of A grad, so I've been going to for some 20 years, and no matter the occasion, I always love going there. And I think Arizona, again, one of those teams for whom expectations have probably been depressed a little bit, but I believe in Fifita, I believe in Brennan, and I think they're going to be a tough out this year.
JB, we appreciate the time, man. Let's do it again soon.
All right, back to Bear Convo. I want to tune in and learn as you go.
Let's go. We got you covered.
Let's go. Thanks, JB. Right.
JB Long from TNT, play-by-play. Insider and broadcaster. Exciting to have them involved in the Big 12 conference.
Yeah, it'll be cool. The league is expanding its TV kind of footprint.
It's the vision of Brett Yormark.
Basketball, it's awesome. If you miss any of his shows, D-Blues, you can find them on BYUSN.com and the free BYU TV app.
Still on the way, how did BYU women's soccer hold up last night against Cal Poly? And which Cougars played in the NFL preseason yesterday? Did you even know? Headlines on the way. This is BYU Sports Day.
London now.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to Studio B. I am Spencer Linton. He is Jerem Jordan. It feels like the appropriate time to get to your Tuesday headlines.
ESPN's Pete Thamel reports this morning that BYU is naming Bear Bachmeyer as the starting quarterback for the opener against Portland State, becoming the first true freshman to start a season opener in BYU history. Today, the Cougars will hold their final training camp practice as we speak. It'll end in about 40, 50 minutes. Media availability today. More updates from practice here and on our YouTube channel. The team will have tomorrow off. Turn their attention to the Vikings of Portland State coming up on Thursday.
Good chance that 95% of the questions are going to be about the quarterback situation.
Yeah.
Pat Forty of Sports Illustrated paying attention to non-quarterbacks. In fact, he named BYU's Parker Kingston as the seventh most intriguing player in college football outside of QBs. Forty wrote, quote, Kingston had a pair of punt return TDs last year, three touchdown passes over the past two seasons, and a couple of receiving scores. His touchdown plays have tended to be spectacular, end quote.
Let's get him a jet sweep rush, because then he scored four different ways, which I want to say is the most in BYU history by anybody.
He was a great high school quarterback for Roy.
Yeah, he took over for one Jackson Dart, who's now with the Giants. Women's soccer came from behind to tie Cal Poly 2-2 last night. Ellie Walbrook scored two goals in under a minute, close the first half, gave BYU a 2-1 lead. Heading into halftime, they ended up tying. Cougars host Walbrook's old team, UCLA. Massive game Saturday night at South Field.
Stay unbeaten. Let's go. Ryan Rico, our guy. Arguably the greatest punter in BYU history.
Oh, don't you dare say that to Lee Johnson. He will find you.
They're both Bengals punters.
Yeah. The greatest punter with a shoe on in BYU NFL history?
Yeah, yeah. Rico punted four times for an average of 40 yards, two inside the 20, pinning the Commanders for my Cincinnati Bengals in a 31-17 win of the preseason over Washington. A little bit of tough news from Colts camp. Former BYU offensive lineman Blake Freeland out for the season after fracturing his leg against the Green Bay Packers on Saturday. That, according to multiple reports, were gutted for Blake.
That is a massive bummer.
Tough, and it hurts the depth of the Colts as well. We wish him a speedy recovery.
Love Blake. Had lunch with him in Indy over the summer. Ah, devastated for Blake. Get well.
After the break, take our conversation to the cornerbacks room and hear from standouts Evan Johnson and Trey Alexander as we continue our training camp position previews. This is BYUSN.
Evan Johnson's really emerged as of late. Maury Bamba's had his moments where he just looks like an elite Big 12 corner, and same with Trey Alexander. So those three guys have kind of separated themselves from the pack.
Jay Hill's defense at BYU has some weapons, no doubt about it. Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation live from Studio B. I am Spencer Linton. He is Jerem Jordan. Let's continue our position previews specifically with those cornerbacks. And we'll start with Evan Johnson. Everybody affectionately calls him Schmev. He'll discuss that. And also where he feels like he's taken the biggest step forward in his own progression as an elite defender. Evan Johnson, one-on-one on BYU Sports Nation.
Evan Johnson is back on BYU Sports Nation, and again, most people, at least in one way or another, have heard the story behind Schmev. You told it to me after the Wyoming game last year, but for those, because I've had people asking again, why is everyone calling him Schmev? Can you tell us the story again about the nickname?
Yeah, so I was just with my cousins, and we were freestyling, and I was probably like five or six, somewhere around there. I don't know a lot of rhymes, so I just said Evan, Kevin, Schmevin. And it's just stuck with me from that day. My cousin just kind of did it. And then I changed it to my Instagram handle in high school. And then that's when it kind of just started to catch on.
So you fully embraced this thing then?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Now it's just who I am. So it's cool.
Well, your defensive coordinator, Jay Hill, in a roundabout way, is fully embracing you and the effort that you have put in this training camp. He pinpointed you specifically as someone who has taken a nice step forward in camp and is doing really good things at the cornerback position. Why do you feel like you are better positioned to be an even more significant contributor this year?
Yeah, I just feel like my offseason work, we're working with Rob Daniels a lot. He was one of those dudes who are kind of out there every day with us, just making sure we're doing the little things right, technique, pedal, even just like the little film stuff, just watching extra film with us. And then you put that with G too, when we're coming in with G and he's able to, you know, to kind of teach us just the little ropes and the technique stuff and to be savvy in the football field and what to look for in the film. So when you put those two together, and then now we got Eddie in our room as well, who is a former player. I mean, that just makes me so confident on the field and allows me to go make plays, because it's like, oh, I've seen this play 100 times with Eddie or Rob or G. I've done this drill with all these dudes 1,000,000 times. So it just makes it easy on me to trust myself and just go out there and make plays. So I don't know, just working hard and trusting that the stuff they taught me is putting me in the right position, that's been the main thing.
Evan Johnson is on BYU Sports Nation. Let's talk about the receivers you defend against in BYU football training camp. When you're lined up with Chase Roberts, what's the biggest challenge there?
Just going to get the ball. You know, Chase is one of those guys where the ball is always going to end up in his hands. So when I'm going against him, I got to think about how can I get the ball in my hands now? Like, what can I do little things, you know, to get in and out of the breaks or just to have that little edge on him. So, you know, that's really the big thing. I love battling against Chase. He's one of those guys who's going to come to practice every day and battle. So it's just like, who's going to get the better of who today? And I feel like that makes practice really fun. And yeah.
JoJo Phillips is a guy who's taken significant strides and plans to play a much bigger role in pass catching this year. So what are you seeing from JoJo in those daily one-on-one matchups?
Yeah, JoJo, I mean, first of all, he's just got a lot stronger through the offseason, and you notice that when he's run some of his routes. And then just getting in and out of his breaks, I've noticed he's a lot better. And then he's always had the ability to just go get the ball. So I feel like when going against JoJo, it's just, you know, having that mindset like, oh, I'm just not going to let you beat me. That's really one of the things it is for me. I feel like that's with everyone, but specifically when I go against JoJo, just because we're boys, you know, we're really close. So.
Overall, from a culture standpoint in the defensive backs room, how does it feel right now with some big personalities in there, especially Trey Alexander? Like, what's that dynamic like?
I mean, it's really been the same all 4 years I've been here, you know. I feel like G runs the room very well and keeps it under control. And right now, we're just very focused on getting the ball and getting takeaways, you know. Last year, we had a really good season, tied for leading the nation in picks, but this year we're really emphasizing we have to go get the ball, we have to do that. And so that culture is built up in our room, and you know, we laugh and joke around a lot, but when we get on that field and it's game time and you're not, and maybe you tipped the ball that you could have picked, we're on your head, you know. You got to make those plays because that's what's going to allow our team to be great instead of just good, you know.
Evan, congratulations on a great training camp thus far. Good luck over the last few weeks, and good luck against Portland State on August 30th.
Yeah, it'll be fun. Thank you.
Evan Johnson played in 12 games, 4 starts, had 2 of those nation-leading 22 team interceptions a season ago.
He was PFF's highest-graded BYU defensive player, period, last year.
Yeah, a lot of people don't know that.
More than Glasker, more than Kelly, more than Batty.
More than Tanner Wall.
Crazy, right? Yeah. Then there's Trey Alexander, who has one of, if not the biggest personality on the team. His confidence is born from the work that he's put in, and he's excited to show what this team and these cornerbacks can do.
Trey, I think you were as triggered as you could have been ever when they did the little spoof video on social saying, "Do you wish you were athletic?" Oh, yeah. I really enjoyed your reaction. What was that like for you? I don't think they could say anything worse to you.
I mean, in my head, it was just like, them asking me was athletic is crazy. Like, I know it's a little trend on TikTok or whatever, but to ask me, like, come on now. Like, I done won state championships in track. I done been all county, all state in football. So in my head, I literally played every sport growing up. So in my head, I'm like, yeah, nah, that's crazy.
It has to be a joke.
Yeah, it got to be a joke. There's no way to ask me that. Yeah.
How you feeling about the cornerbacks and the development of that group? Because certainly when you lose the 2 starting corners, you know, fans may go, hey, uh-oh, but – there's 3 of you that played a bunch last year, and I think you guys feel pretty confident you'll be able to equal or best what they did, right?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. I mean, we all played a lot last year, as you said, and we all came in the same room with the same training. And then, like, we had a full offseason to train with Rob, who helped develop us a lot during the season last year.
Rob Danielson.
Yeah, and, like, the other corners, like Jacob and Mark, they didn't get a full offseason with them, really. So now that we got a full offseason with them, like, everything we learned last year, we got to expand that over 6, 7, 8 months. So now for us, like, we more confident than ever. Like, the room feel good. We all hold each other accountable every day. Our standards is the same, if not higher than last year. So, like, for us, I mean, we know what to expect. We know what we got to go do. So we don't feel any pressure at all. Like, losing Jacob and Mark was big, but, like, at the same time, like, we learned so much from them. Mm-hmm. And, like, to say the quiet part out loud, they're my brothers, but them boys both a little short. We all 6 foot and up, so. I love y'all boys, but yeah, so yeah, we gonna be good.
Your group, talk to me about the confidence of, yeah, we can pick this up, and for you, the opportunity to be a starter now as a sophomore.
As a group, it all starts with Coach G. I mean, that man right there gives you all the confidence you need. Like, I always tell people, playing for him, it's all about the mindset. Like, yeah, you might not be the biggest guy. You might not be a 200-pound corner, or you might not be this, you might not be that. But Coach G instills confidence in you because he has that mindset. Like, no matter who's on the field in front of us, we're going to dominate it. Like, it's small stuff. Like, one thing he might tell us, he's like, the other dude mama understands, your mama understands. Who mama going to be sad? So you thinking in your head, like, yeah, my mama ain't going to be sad. Like, it's just all the small stuff Coach G do. And he really coach you and develop you. And then the confidence also comes from each other. Like, we work out with each other all offseason. We just get up at 5 in the morning in the cold. Like, we're not even going to IPF. We outside in the cold working on our press technique. And we're doing that all leading up to spring ball. And spring ball, and we go into the summer workouts, we're working out 5 in the morning. We're working out all the time with each other. So for us, it's just seeing how much time each other put in. We're able to hold each other accountable. So when we go out here, we don't feel like nobody can beat us just because, like, we've seen each other at their best. And we know how to get each other to their best. So in us, the confidence comes from the work. And then in my eyes, I mean, the opportunity to be a starter, it means everything to me. You know, when you're a kid, the first step you want to do, at least for me, was go Division I. Next thing you want to do is start. And for me to be able to be in a position where I'm competing for a starting spot and may so get it as a sophomore, a 19-year-old sophomore, I mean, it means everything to me. It's just one of those dreams. But if it happens, like first game it does, if it doesn't, it doesn't matter to me. I just want to play my role. You know, I just want the team to win. You know, I just want us to be at our best ultimately.
Who are the corners you grew up watching that you said, I want to be like that guy?
I was a Carolina Panthers fan growing up. So one of the guys I watched, I was able to watch Josh Norman in his prime. You know, my cousin played on the team, so I was actually able to meet him. So he was one of those guys. Antonio Cromartie, he also played with my cousin in San Diego. So
who's your cousin?
Mike Tolbert, fullback, you know, Pro Bowler, all pro. So awesome. I was able to meet a lot of those guys. So Antonio Cromartie, Josh Norman, and then like my favorite player I ever watched in college is Jalen Ramsey. You know, I was a Florida State fan growing up, and Jalen Ramsey was a guy who made players all over the field, any position. He talked crazy to people. I mean, he used to DM like the other receiver, like girlfriend before games. Like, so I take a lot from Jalen Ramsey game for sure. Like, that's my favorite player ever, probably.
That's out there, that the DMing the girlfriend. That's crazy. Well, we appreciate the time. Best of luck with everything, and we're excited to see you strap it up on August 30th.
Yes, sir, thank you. I'm excited to see all y'all there. Y'all got to pull up and, you know, give us y'all full support this year.
Heck yeah. Thanks, Trey.
Yeah, thank you.
Is Trey Alexander athletic?
Who's mama going to be sad? If you miss any of our coverage of BYU football training camp, including interviews with coaches and players, you can find them on demand on BYU Sports Nation's YouTube channel. I love Trey.
He's the best.
He's so fun.
Next, we wrap up a loaded show with more of your thoughts on Pete Thamel's report that BYU is naming true freshman Barrett Bachmeier the starting QB. This is BYUSN.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back with our question of the day, which is, what is your reaction to Pete Thamel of ESPN reporting that BYU is naming Barrett Bachmeier as their starting quarterback? At KurtJB07 on X says, amazement to think that he learned the playbook so fast and won the starting job over veterans makes me think that the future is very bright for the Cougs.
It's exciting. And, you know, we mentioned it earlier. Bear and Tiger are Catholic, and they've come here because, you know, they came here from Stanford. They talked about a couple months ago.
They love the culture.
They love the culture. They love the faith-based nature here, which is awesome. So I know some people have asked, are they LDS? Is he going on a mission? He is not, but he has been called to serve in the end zone.
Yeah.
So we certainly hope that he is chucking touchdowns.
I had a few fans say, well, why would they start a true freshman only to have another true freshman start next year, thinking about unnamed five-star quarterback?
A certain other animal named
And that, yes, that player is planning to serve at least a year for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, which would make Bear the starter perceivably for 2 years at least.
At least, which this is the ideal scenario if it can play out like this. We'll see how this goes. I'm excited to watch it.
Clark Amundsen on X says, I'm good with it. I trust the coaches. The early season schedule makes this the ideal time to roll the dice on a youngster with a big upside.
And honestly, I think that's more of a fan perception than a coaching perception. The coaching perception is who gives us the best chance to win right now. Not build up to it, but right now. If that was McKay Hillstead, he would be the starter. But Bear won that job, so it's Bear.
Nate S. Dunn on X says, it's the days of 47, baby. We've heard that a lot.
Yes, we have. Bear witness, right to bear arms. There's all kinds of...
Bearing the burden.
Yeah, all kinds of puns, yes. Which is awesome.
Our elite voice of the day, presented by PAX Healthcare, careers built for victory, comes in from @Marshall_BYU, who says simply, Bear is kicking butt with the video. It's a real video.
This is nice. This is one of the videos I remember 20 years ago. You would email an attachment, and then you would watch it. There was no YouTube. This is one of the first. It's the bear fighting the fisherman. He's doing a roundhouse right in the gut. Bear Bachmeier, let's go.
Oh,
I love that.
Bear is kicking butt.
That's really funny.
Really funny. Well played. Truly an elite voice of the day. Today's Rise and Shout Out presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
To Bear Bachmeier, I want to point this out. So the last couple of years, many firsts have happened among the BYU quarterbacks in the human notes, right? 2019, Jaren Hall, first black quarterback starting in BYU history. 23, Jake Retzlaff, first U.S. starting quarterback. You could argue Zach Wilson is half Hawaiian, Polynesian starting quarterback there. And now Bear Bachmeier becomes BYU's first Asian-American starting QB. That's a cool note among
the humanity of these guys the last couple years.
There's a place for everyone at BYU.
Let's go.
We keep saying it, and we will continue to say it. Our thanks to today's guests, J.B. Long of TNT, Evan Johnson, and Trey Alexander, cornerbacks for BYU football.
There's a place for everyone but Dennis, because he already graduated, so you need to get a real job.
Okay. For Jerem, I'm Spencer. Shout out to Jackson McChesney. We'll see you tomorrow with reaction from the final day of BYU football training camp. Quarterbacks on the mind. Go Cougs!